talk to somebody who has more than one child, and practically everyone will tell you, you know, all my children have different dispositions. Not one of my children are alike. And tonight I'm going to talk about a disposition or a temperament that if you have it, it'll run your joy. And I am one that talks from experience. I know tonight what I say is true. God forbid that this be one of your personality quirks. But if it is, there is hope and there is victory ahead in having joy in your life. It'll not be easy, but it is possible. And unless you conquer this disposition I'm going to talk about tonight, the joy of the Lord will not ever be released into your life to the point that you say and feel, I'm happy as a Christian. Now we're talking tonight about why can't I be joyful? Here it is. You fail to withhold your tongue from murmuring. The other day we were at Penny's. I really made a blunder. I tell you, you can really stick your foot in your mouth. Mary doesn't know this, but she was there. We were picking up a lawnmower. Ours blew its gasket. I don't know what happened to that thing. Anyway, it just blew up. And so we went to get a lawnmower, and there was a little old kid there. Oh, how old was he? About 5 or 6. Oh, he was just having a hissy fit, you know. And he was just crying and bawling. And there wasn't anything wrong with him. His mother just had his hand. He wanted to run around the store, see. And I sort of whispered to my wife, shut up. But I said a little bit too loud. And the father of the kid walked up by the time I said it. And I don't know where he heard me or not, but the clerk waiting on the people next to me over there, she heard it and looked up at me, you know, and kind of grinned. Well, what I said was probably true, but I shouldn't have said that. But I want to say this, that kid's going to grow up, and if he keeps that disposition, he'll never be happy. There wasn't any reason for him to be crying like that. None in the world. I mean, he wasn't miserable. Nobody was pinching him. There was no reason, justifiably, to say, for that kid to just sit there and scream and holler. What was wrong with him? Well, he wasn't content. He was complaining. And so, therefore, I may say this, that kid was miserable. You could look at that kid, everybody around the store could say, hey, man, that kid's miserable. But he made himself miserable. Now, possibility number 9, we fail to withhold our tongue from murmuring. Found a little poem for you. It's called The Grumble Family. There's a family nobody likes to meet. They live, it is said, on Complaining Street. In the city of Never Are Satisfied, the river of discontent beside. They growl at that and they growl at this. And whoever comes, there is something amiss. And whether their station be high or humble, they all are known by the name of Grumble. The weather is always too hot or cold. Summer and winter alike they scold. Nothing goes right with the folks you meet down on that gloomy, complaining street. They growl at the rain and they growl at the sun. In fact, their growling is never done. And if everything pleased them, there isn't a doubt, they'd growl that they'd nothing to grumble about. Now, does that poem fit your disposition? I'll not tonight cast any judgment upon anybody. I'll just ask you, is that your disposition? How often during a day do you use your mouth to grumble, to complain? Let me say this, however many minutes you do that, I'll say that many minutes, you are a miserable Christian. You're an unhappy person, and if you complain and continue to complain all day, you'll be miserable all day long. And you know, most folks never have any sympathy for complainers. Most folks dodge grumblers. And that gets back to this idea of our self-image. You don't like to hear people always griping about everything under the sun. What if you're the one that does the griping? There's a part of you says, man, I can't stand you. Which means there's a part of you that says, I don't like you. I don't like myself. And if you don't like yourself, you can't be happy. So you may hear about the joy of the Lord, and you may sing, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. But brother, you'll never get it out of your heart. As long as you complain and you grumble, you won't like yourself. Because you see, as long as you complain, you'll remain in a mood that is impossible to be joyful. I think we ought to be more alert as Christians regarding the things that we complain about things that upset us. Now, I know my kids are going to say, boy, Daddy, you better listen to what you're saying. Just how big of an issue are the things that throw you into a tailspin, get you all upset, and produce within you a bad mood? Just how big are these matters? I hate to tattle on myself all the time, but I don't know of anybody else to use but myself, you know. The other day I drove up to get some gasoline. Now let me show you how lousy my disposition is. There's a little old sign on there that says, out of gas. You know, I went into a dither. That just really bugged me. I got all upset. I want to say this, that if I'd have had joy before I drove by that pump, I didn't have it when I drove up to it. You know, and when I left it, I was grumbling. Rah, rah, where's all the gasoline? You know, where am I going to get gasoline now? What kind of mess our world coming to anyway? You know, you grumble, grumble, grumble. So I went to this next station and drove up, you know, and there was a bunch of cars. Always there's cars in the station when I get there. So I had to wait. So I drove behind this pickup truck. You know what he had? He had them double tanks. Yeah, he got that old back tank. You know, he must have filled that whole pickup bin full of gasoline. He just sit there, you know, and pumping that gas. And I thought, man, there won't be any gas left when he gets it. I don't know how long it took him to get that gas. I mean, it was $50 when we got out of there, you know. Well, I drove up and I got my gas. But boy, he ruined my evening. And I grumbled. And when I went by to get them all, that old girl, she put too much milk in it. It wasn't even thick, you know. It was like cold milk, and that really bugged me too. You know? I just ruined the whole day, the whole evening, you see. Now, are you like that? Maybe you're not. And if you're not, God be praised. But, you know, folks like me really have a hard time being joyful because there's something always coming along to upset you that's trivial. I mean, trivial. None of those things were a big deal. None of them were earth-shattering. None of them were worth getting upset about. How big are the matters that rob you of joy as you begin to grumble about them? I hope that I'm the only one that needs this sermon. Maybe not, but hopefully, maybe not. Are the things that really, you see, you can't do anything about, the very things that rob you of joy? Flip on the light switch and the bulb burns out. Does that bother you? You go in the bathroom and the toothpaste been squeezed in the middle. I mean, do you just go all the pieces, you know? When you got three kids, you go in the bathroom, look for a towel, and they're all gone. They're all upstairs, dirty. Those kind of things just really get me. They're big things, you know. Probably not. Not really. Or traffic. That gets a lot of folks. How about the weather? I won't tell you, I don't know whether this is true or not, but I got it out of a book, and that doesn't mean anything either. But it's a story told about Caesar, that he planned a tremendous banquet. It was going to be held on the front lawn of, I guess you call it the palace or wherever it was that he lived. And so all the preparations were made, and the day came, but on this day, it was a day when rain just came down all day long and just ruined all the preparations that Caesar had made for this great banquet where he invited all the lords of all his provinces to come in for the meeting and the festivities. Well, they couldn't have anything. So he took all the lords outside with their bows and arrows, and he told them to shoot those arrows up at the god Jupiter, that was their god, and let that god know what they thought about ruining, or what they all thought about him ruining their banquet. And so they did. They all took their bows, and he said, shoot them straight up, and they did, and the arrows came down on top of them. And a lot of them are seriously hurt. Now, you know, really the only person that gets upset and gets hurt is the person that complains about things he cannot change. You think about that. You are the one that suffers the most, not God. You are the one that suffers the most when you lose your cool and when you begin to grumble and complain and murmur about little things that you can't do anything about anyway. How many of the things that we fret and we worry and we concern ourselves about are little old bitty things that don't amount to anything and never will. Now, complaining that is needless and that is uncalled for will depress you just as much as complaining about real serious problems. Now, I'm not saying there is never any reason for you to be justifiably complaining. There are times when you should be. But normally speaking, you'll be just as miserable over complaining about the toothpaste tube as you will about some major crime taking place on your block. The result will be the same, your loss of joy. By allowing yourself to become disgusted at the drop of a hat if the wind blows your hair the wrong direction. It's just that simple. You've lost your joy. Because complaining automatically puts you in a bad mood and it forces all of your attention on the thing that is unpleasant. As long as your attention is focused on what is unpleasant, you will never be happy. I want to say it again. As long as your attention is focused on unpleasant things, you can't be happy. And life will not be pleasant. And you will have a bitter taste in your mouth all that time. Now, Philippians 2:14 is Paul's advice to the Christian. Philippians 2:14. Do all things. Do all things without murmurings. Do all things, he said, without murmuring. When I read this, do all things, I believe Paul is saying everything God calls you to do, the big task, the little task, everything God calls you to do, you do it without murmuring. If it's waiting in the gasoline line, you do it without murmuring. Everything God calls you to do. If it's getting dressed to go to church, do it without murmuring. For the moment you begin to murmur, you'll lose the joy God wants to give you as you do it for Him. I think Paul here is dealing with unjustified, uncalled for, griping and discontent and unnecessary grumbling. You don't have any right to do it. It doesn't make any sense to complain under these circumstances. Because normally our complaints are based on one or two things. I'm not getting my way, which is very childish. And the other is, I am finding what I'm having to do to be very difficult. Again, that's very immature. Do all things, he says, without murmuring. Be cheerfully obedient, which is going to require patience, no matter how trying things may get. Make this the practice of your life. Not only that, but we find that when you begin to murmur and complain, God takes it personally. Now, you may direct it at somebody else, or you just may just talk yourself into misery. But God takes all complaining as a personal insult as to His providence and how He's treating you as His child. It's a personal insult. In other words, He feels you are finding fault with His commands for your life, with His will for your life, with His goodness towards your life, and with His guidance over your life. God says, since I'm in control, when you complain, you're complaining about my control. This is what happened with the Israelite people. Back there when God led them out of Egypt, you recall the story very well, sent the spies in the land of promise. They came back and gave the story. We can't take the land even though God said it was there. Just go in there and take it. And they came back and the majority of the spies from the 12 tribes said, we can't take it. Two of them said, you can take it, Caleb and Joshua. And the people believed the other spies. And the Bible says, and they murmured against the Lord. And God's anger was kindled against the Israelite people because they grumbled and mumbled. And they said, it would be better if we would go back to Egypt than to let God control our lives like He's doing it right now. What a mess God has gotten us into. And so their murmuring was taken by God as a personal insult. And then in 1 Corinthians 10:10, Paul talks about this. That's what makes murmuring so serious. It offends the Lord. Notice what Paul says, neither murmur. Ye, Christians, do not murmur, as some of the Israelites murmured. God saw they were destroyed. That really makes it a sobering thing when you stop and realize how upset God was because of the murmuring. You see, murmuring makes you appear ungrateful to God. God can't do anything right as He manages your life. And that upsets God for you to insinuate that He is that stupid. Now, we need as Christians to master this problem of murmuring and grumbling. Paul says, do all things without murmuring. If we didn't need to be told to do it, He wouldn't have told us. Now, how do you do it? Look at Philippians again. Let's go to the fourth chapter. In the second chapter, he says, do all things without murmuring, verse 14. Now, in the fourth chapter, he tells you how. Go to verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto the Lord. Verse 4. Rejoice. There's your joy in him. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice in the Lord. How am I going to rejoice in the Lord? Go back down into verse 16. How? In everything by prayer and thanksgiving. There's your solution. The way to handle unjustified complaining is just simply take the antidote of thanksgiving. Of thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving takes your mind off of what's pleasant and will put it on what is pleasant. Again, it'll take your mind off of what is not pleasant and put it on what is pleasant. That's what thanksgiving does. It just changes your thought pattern. It changes the direction of your attention. And so instead of thinking about what's upsetting you, you take that same situation and begin to find reasons in it to thank the Lord. For instance, back to the gasoline pump. In driving up, I should, instead of fretting, say, I thank you, Lord, I have enough gas to get to the next station. And I thank you, Lord, I even have a car that can use gasoline and run. And I thank you, Lord, that you kept me safely from this pump and made to the next one. I thank you, Lord, for this. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you, Lord, for this. And as you begin to thank the Lord for things, you'll forget all about complaining. Because your mind then is on pleasant things that the Lord has done for you. The whole situation has been salvaged. You have retained the joy of the Lord. And you do not go into depression. And you're pleased with yourself. And you have a good self-image. And you don't have reason to complain, but you have reason to rejoice in the Lord. Now, anyone that complains can also thank. Doesn't take a whole lot of sense to do either one of them. So if you can do one, you can do the other. As you begin to feel grumbling coming on, you immediately begin to thank the Lord. And you'll never run out of things to thank Him for. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Verse 18. Notice the connection between rejoicing and in everything give thanks. There is a connection between rejoicing, having joy, and being thankful. There is a direct connection. There is a direct connection between being miserable and always complaining. Thankfulness becomes the cure for a sour disposition that vents itself in unnecessary grumbling. Father, we're thankful this night for your patience with each of us. Make us aware that there is a joy that only Christ can give His people. Help us to realize that grumbling is offensive to Thee and it's detrimental to our own joy. We ask that you remind us this night of this problem, if it's in our life, that you convict us, that you show us that this is one of the possibilities as to why we don't have the joy of the Lord. And then be with us when the next time comes we begin to complain. Remind us not to listen to what upsets us, but begin to think on those things for which we can be thankful. And by doing so, we know that our disposition will change from being sour to being happy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.